watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
You are listening to Chaos Springs Eternal, a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes and disturbing imagery, as well as horrors beyond comprehension. Now, if you don't mind those things, I think you'll have a fun time listening. Join us, won't you? Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal, Season 1, City of Woe.
Woe!
Finally, it's been too long since I have heard that woe. You know,
did nobody pick it up for me?
No, that's yours.
Oh, that's sweet. But yeah. Also, okay.
I know our listeners are clamoring for it, so it's nice to have it back.
There are dozens of us. Dozens!
And we're back with, our stats are looking pretty good, you know? Thank you guys for sharing this with your friends and family. Please keep doing that, obviously.
Please.
I know I do the call to action at the end of every episode, but just a little reminder up top to go rate and review us on iTunes and all that sort of jazz. We're gonna jump right into this. This one-on-one stuff, we've been going, again, bantsless for these, and I think it's allowed us to tread a lot of ground. It's also made the edits a lot longer. All worth it. So Marcy is sitting in one of those scissor leg director type chairs with the canvas, on the bottom and the back. And you've been sitting here for a little while, actually the longest of you three, because Joel and Cyril have already been brought in, and you are facing a wall of mirrors, and you are getting the final touch-ups on your makeup. This wall of mirror, it's got the bright lights so that you can appear good on television, and all that stuff that you need. And you've seen Joel and Cyril both called in, and you've seen Joel leave, and now you have just seen Cyril exit as well. Actually, for Joel's departure, do you want to go ahead and make a human roll for me? We're going to start off this episode with a roll.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. My human is one of my best skills. Totally. Yeah. 49 over 11.
Yeah. So Joel was in a hurry to get home. Maybe he had to use the restroom, but, everything else looks fine. You kind of notice that Cyril, the station doors have the little half window. And as he steps out, when he pushes out, you see him like stop briefly when he steps out. It's just like a second or two. And then he leaves your sight. And Cynthia Whitehead comes over and she's hooking you up to the mic and monitor. She says, "All right, Nina is ready for you. She's going to go ahead and get the interview done. We'll see how your section goes." Joel's and Cyril's have gone. They've gone, and we're excited to hear for you.
That was a little ominous. I mean, we're all a little shaken up after all that, but were they that bad?
No, they've gone fine. Nina likes to, she's a reporter, okay? She's going to poke and prod. So just, heads up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll stay sturdy.
Excellent. You'll do great. I know you will, Marcy. And she leads you into the studio where Nina Hernandez is looking over a clipboard, reading over some stuff, and talking into her her mic and monitor. You think she's also got an earpiece to listen. And you sit down from her. Cynthia grabs the clipboard, and Nina Hernandez looks up at you and says, "Well, Marcy, so glad to talk with you today. You know how this goes. We're going to interview a lot, and we'll cut down to the best parts, obviously, just like the shows that you guys do. Film a lot, cut down to the best parts.
Understood.
Just off the bat, is there anything that you don't feel comfortable talking about? Any sort of red button, items?
Yes. Just please, if you have anything regarding my family, I'd appreciate if you would keep that out. I'm here strictly to represent myself and trying to distance myself from the Hestagath name, as it were.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I did have a couple questions about your personal background. Maybe like childhood, is that okay? Or none of that?
That should be okay regarding like my how I started learning what I do.
Yeah. That okay. And again, if we cover anything that you decide later, let us know as soon as possible. We're trying to get this thing pushed out real quick. So
understood.
We're the ones to, interview the most famous ghost hunting team in America right now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Probably the world, I would assume. I don't keep up with international ghost hunters.
I personally don't as much myself either. That's mostly Chol and Cyril.
All right. And she, touches her finger to her ear, says, okay, we are ready to go. So I'm just going to start. All right.
All right. Let's have at it.
Okay. We are joined here today with Marcy Hestagath, one of the members of the Phantom Finders crew, another Carefor native, one of our own. And we are so proud to have you here, Marcy. And first, I just wanted to say that all of our thoughts go to your continued healing from the awful situation you had in the Florizon Manor. When you go do these ghost hunting shows, have you ever felt threatened like this before?
I mean, obviously, yeah. I've been worried, worried that like we're going into summer, that some unfortunate person without a home and normal shelter might be, that they might be worried for their safety, and us going in there might provoke them. But aside from that, mostly no. This is pretty new. Beforehand, we've gone into some places that have been a little dangerous, but nothing quite like this.
So what were you, what did you think after, you fell through the floor? What was going through your mind? Just ouch.
But more seriously though, just shock and terror about the spirit having, I presume, shoved me, because I thought we had all gone over it pretty smoothly. Like, sure, the house is creaky and settling, as much as an old, ancient, decrepit house like that could settle any more than it already had. But it was awful having the floor fall out beneath you and immediately falling onto the speakeasy in the basement was horrible. Not to mention the fact that later we found out there was a swarm of rats down there, so my safety was even more. But I suppose the noise of me falling may have scattered them more. Thank goodness for that.
Wow. Yeah, we're really looking forward to getting this episode out to everybody, so that they can see and really just beyond the viral clips that's been circulating. We want to get a little more history. Now, in your research of the Florizon Manor, is there anything that you can share with us, maybe a little preview for the episode of things that we should be looking out for, maybe something that might have not have made the cut, little, director's commentary type of thing?
Well, I have done quite a lot of research into the Babineaux, and thankfully the mayor himself here has given me a little bit of leeway with some of it, but I'm not sure what I am at liberty to say in regards to that. I suppose you could also ask the mayor himself some questions about his family that I'm sure he'd love to be able to share. But as for the mostly available stuff, it's the fact that the Babineaux were said to have assisted. I'm scrolling through the notes. It was said that the manor served as a meeting place for French rebels who claimed to smuggle supplies for the French resistance. and it had some notable politicians and actors that, well, it also claims to have served Queen Elizabeth, the current Queen Elizabeth, not the, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So the manor, has already a rich history. So this can only add to its fame or infamy.
Regretfully, yes, this will be a smear on the tapestry of the Babineau bloodline for a moment. I'm sure that the mayor can turn it around. I have all faith in that. But this is something that has been dredged up, and we have worked to correct it in our own little ways.
Well, you know, they say sunlight is the best disinfectant. Mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. Marcy, I'm curious about your background. Just want to know a little bit more about you. How did you first get into the paranormal? What inspired you to join up? You know, maybe it was an early life experience you had, or I don't know, any other experience, or just a plain curiosity.
Well, my family, I grew up around storytellers, and they love sharing these little ghost stories around little campfires when we go camping, or just whenever it was a stormy night and I was begging for bedtime stories. They would always share these ones that would make me attempt to regret asking them for a story, but it always sparked an interest in me. Like, it was just something incredible, something unique about the world that I couldn't see, but they saw and someone else saw. And I wanted to see that for myself. And I suppose that interest never went away. And that's what led to this.
After you give that answer, she looks at you and she says, "Speaking of worlds that we can't see, Marcy, where did you go?"
Hmm?
"Where did you go, Marcy?" And she's looking at you, and there's this moment where, like, all the lights seem to just dim out behind her, and it's just you sitting across from her. But it's like things are changing and melting. It's like you're watching, like, a TV channel start to get changed, and all of a sudden, like, you know, you were in this, you were just in this studio, but now you're in sort of this empty, dark space. There's this sort of vague, as you look around you, you see, like, vague outlines of trees reaching up to the sky, maybe a little bit of some sunlight maybe breaking through high above you. You are clearly on the forest floor. As you gaze around, you see movement. You see a creature that's shaded heavily, obviously with the lack of light. But as it steps forward, you see a singular bulbous eye emerge on top of a triangular head. This eye is a mesmerizing mosaic of thousands of minuscule orbs, and the triangular head and this eye just remind you of a praying mantis. But where the other eye should be, you see a cascade of spores of mushrooms, a sickly doughy stream pouring out of its head that bobs and pulses as it clicks its mouth, you know, its little mandibles, and moves its arms and walks. And as you are observing this, Marcy, in a sudden moment, the pseudo pupil from the one good eye locks onto you, and you feel yourself make eye contact with this creature. And it says, "Why are you here?" in your mind. And then she says, "So, Marcy, have you always stayed in Care 4? Is there anywhere you've traveled to? Where did you go?" And we're back with Nina Hernandez in the studio, and everything's normal. So go ahead and please make me a sanity roll.
Yeah, there's definitely a moment where she just has this vacant look on her face, as if she, like, people could tell she was not there mentally for a moment, and it's just cold sweat visible on her face, as it's just she can feel the bile rising up in her throat, but in a quick moment she tugs on her collar a little bit. I tried to go to can I have some water?
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
And like, just a couple seconds later, Cynthia Whitehead comes with some water. So you rolled a 36 under 57, which is a success. So just take 1 point of sanity damage.
Okay.
I Wahoo. Sent you a picture, by the way.
Yeah, I see it. Marcy just sweating and just kind of like, I just need like, just like 10 seconds. I'll be okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Again, we're rolling. We'll do all the edits and so don't worry about that.
Okay. And she slowly brings the cup to her lips and drinks it, like sipping, and just like seems to kind of like roll her shoulders a little bit and settles back into the chair. Okay. Where should I put this? Just on the other side of the chair. Is that okay?
Cynthia comes in and grabs it and
okay, thank you.
Darts back off into the background.
Whew, sorry about that. What was the question again? So,
just asking about, you know, if you've had any time away from Care 4, where you've gone, that sort of thing.
Marcy reasserts that facade she's been throwing out, the fake smile and kind of like the TV persona. You know how it is. Yes, I went out of town briefly when I was trying to seek furthering my education after high school. I went out of state into Georgia for some college. I figured Atlanta would be a good place to go. It was hard being away from Care 4, not having honestly, the thing I missed most was the sweets. Sounds corny, but you know how it is. But it's just something pulled me back in. Something about Care 4, but just I couldn't get it out of my head.
Care 4 does seem to have that effect on people. Now, you are a small business owner in Care 4. Could you share a little bit about what it is what you do for the town? What sort of job you do?
Absolutely. I do a little bit of web admin here and there, building up websites for people, helping maintain them, making sure that whatever they want up online is online, how they want it, when they want it, and for as long as they want it. And currently I've been doing a lot of great work with the mayor, having his re-election campaign going on, and some other little small businesses. I've done a little bit for some other people around town, Miss Wynn, before all the unfortunate happenstance with Mr. Antoine Wynn as it did. Just some other little gigs here and there, bakery, nothing too crazy. I think that most of my time honestly goes to the Phantom Finders.
Well, excellent. Now, we want to bring it back to, you know, the big story. Is there anything about your experience at Florizon Manor that you want to share with the world right now? Just, you know, how you felt, anything that maybe wasn't captured on camera, anything like that?
Honestly, the stress between Cyril, Joel, and I, and Joel's sister coming in as well was difficult, but just her mind going back to like seeing her disappear, having to be carried out of the manor and then being forced to go back in, the RC car being destroyed by rats, and the ghost herself just throwing shit at us, and just like, I have to say, if you're gonna go urban exploring, as it were, bring some rat traps, or bring something to keep yourself safe from rats. That's my biggest thing. And bring a sack of rocks or something to throw on the floorboards, approximating your weight before you go across it yourself. Did that really get you?
Bring rat traps in a giant sack of rocks. That's the advice that you're giving to people. Is that?
Yeah.
I love it. That's very, very funny. She says, well, thank you so much. We're also giving you an opportunity just now to, you know, is there anyone that you want to shout out on this interview? Anyone you'd like to, you know, mention specifically, just so that, you know, you can maybe drive a little traffic to them or something like that.
Have we ever given a name to Marcy's bowling team?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think we did, but I think without a doubt that would be the number one shout out she'd give. Shout out to my boy. Shout out to the crew at God, what should the name be? I can't believe I haven't got into this. I think it would just be called The Spin. I think it would just be called The Spin, okay. If that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Totally just a JoJo reference, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to the spin at the Pickled Pin Bowling Alley. You'll see me there whenever the tourneys are up and I have time to go do it when I'm not drowned in ghosts or being pushed through the floor.
Well, thank you so much, Marcy, for joining us. So glad to get your side. Again, we hope that your recovery is going well. Seems like you're up and around and moving. We look forward to the premiere of this episode, which will be on our own WCLA and will be rebroadcasted nationally.
Can't wait to see it live.
All right. Well, all right. And she like touches her ear and she's like, okay. And she looks around and like, you know, gets everything. But Cynthia comes over and starts unplugging you. Make an alertness roll real quick.
Absolutely. Why did I close my character sheet like a fool? Ooh, a 46 under 52.
Okay, so as she's starting to unplug you, like it doesn't feel like she's turning things off quite as much as she should be. It doesn't feel like everything's getting quite reversed in the same way. Like you notice that she doesn't turn everything off, and like you think maybe a camera's still running. As Nina Hernandez took to you and she says, okay, well, thank you, Marcy. That was great. Now I did just like, you know, in some of our research, we learned a little bit about your uncle, Barnabas. I mean, what a character.
Marcy's just staring straight ahead. We talked about this.
She's like, no, it's just this off the record. This is just me.
Is it? And she points to the microphone that's still recording. Is it?
She looks over at Cynthia and she just nods, and Cynthia turns it off, and you'd notice the other camera turn away and go dark. She's like,
I promise. A full smile on her face, and then it just turns off as the camera ends, and she just looks Nina dead in the eyes. You'll have to wake up a little bit early in the morning to get one over on me. You think I'm not familiar with questions regarding my uncle and family? There's a specific reason why I called out, don't mention my family. I'm not accepting any questions about it, and I'd appreciate if you would stop looking into it. I'm tired of this noose or whatever it is hanging above my head and my family's head. My uncle did nothing wrong.
Okay. All right. That's fine. You're fine. You're free to go. And,
thank you.
Draws her, you know, lips into a line of a smile. She puts her hand to her ear again and is just sort of like nodding. And, as you exit, busting into the parking lot around, let's say 4:30 in the afternoon on this Wednesday. So just yesterday you completed the exorcism of Florizon Manor. And, as the clip went viral sometime Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, you were all contacted by WCLA and asked if you could give an exclusive interview, and that is what you've been here for. So, Marcy, ready to make the trip back to Care 4?
Absolutely. She is going to maintain this, like, just resolute walk away from there until she knows she's out of sight, and hopefully no one's tailing her. If she keeps looking over her shoulder, making sure no one's, like, following her or watching her. Does a once over on herself to make sure like there's no hidden cameras or hidden microphones on her that was put on during makeup. And she's like, ugh, why every single fucking time I get involved with something, my uncle always fucking comes up. I'm just fucking tired of it. I'm fucking tired of it. I'm going to call him. And she is fully talking to herself out loud at this point. After the once over, and just gets in her vehicle and begins the drive back to Care 4 proper. And she's going to ring him up.
All right. He answers the phone and says, oh, hey, Marcy, how's it going?
Well, it was going pretty good. I just got off being interviewed at WCLA, and they asked me a bunch of questions about the ghost hunting we did at the Florizon Manor. And
how'd that go?
Horrible, awful experience. Do not recommend going there. Shit's haunted. Shit was haunted. 100%. We dealt with it though. horrible, horrible, horrible. Do not go there. Also, I think you're probably one of the safest people in Carrefour right now. Yeah, absolutely. With that, apparently a clip has gone viral, and I think that people are about to start flooding into Carrefour. I think I might need to do an early supply run for you before everyone floods into here and stockpiles are going to dwindle. Water, et cetera, you know, the normal stuff that you might run out of quickly, snacks.
Okay.
Just shoot me a list whenever you have time, and I'll get it to you.
You know, just the standards, the things that people go crazy for when there's panic buying, you know, toilet paper, obviously.
God, yes.
Milk.
Mm-hmm.
As I am lactose intolerant, the milk will kind of necessitate the toilet paper. So,
yeah, I don't know why you do that to yourself. I mean, just like I've told you dozens of times, just like as I turn and look at the actual thing it's called, just take some dairy relief. Like they have it. It's fast acting. Just take it before you eat it and you'll be okay.
If God didn't want me to suffer while I ate dairy, then he would have made dairy relief a part of my own body.
She shakes her head and just chuckles. You keep saying this, but I can't believe it. You only have one bathroom in there, and I know that it is your throne, but like, I feel like you must spend more time in that bathroom than you spend in any other part of your bunker.
Well, I don't keep those sort of statistics, Marcy, but anyway, I would appreciate a little re-up on the essentials. And then absolutely. Maybe some, I heard they have a new flavor of Oreo now.
Yeah. I'll get it to you. Yeah. Right. How many do you want?
Just one?
Okay. And then you'll send me a version if you like
Marcy,
it.
Not just one Oreo. One.
Yeah. You know, no, I know. One packet. Oreos. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, he's just, thank you for the, re-up and the heads up, and, he hangs up as he says goodbye.
All right. Now she'll make a list of stuff to pick up, and then she'll... All right. I should probably fucking call him. All right. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. And she dials the mayor. Or at least his office.
Yeah, you get the mayor's secretary, Matilda Green. And she says... yes, hello, mayor's office. This is Matilda. How can I help you?
Hi, Matilda. It's Marcy.
Marcy, last name?
Hestigath.
Marcy Hestigath. Oh, yes. Hello, Marcy. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. You doing okay?
I'm doing fine. I'm on the clock, but otherwise
understood.
Fine.
I was seeing if the mayor would be available for a short, quick chat. I just want to make sure he's doing okay with everything, considering the viral thing that has gone out. And I just want to make sure that he was okay and dealing with it as well as he can. And I blew up at him a little bit earlier, and I just want to make sure that just want to smooth that out as best I can.
Okay. I can patch you through to him if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay, and she, you know, hits a couple buttons, and then says, yes, hello, this is Mayor speaking.
Hello, Mr. Badmano, it's Marcy Hestigath. I just wanted to...
Oh, Marcy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just got finished with an interview with the WCLA about the shitstorm that we just went through. I did not realize that clip would go as viral as it did. I hope people have briefed you on it. Otherwise, I'm going to be the one dropping this bomb on you, and I am so sorry for that.
No, I heard about the clip going viral, and I was aware of some of the implications of it.
I was not aware that it was being sent out as it is, and I am so sorry for not being on top of that. As a member of the Phantom Fighters, I am apologizing for us greatly, and also apologizing for my past behavior. It was unprofessional
Marcy,
and uncalled
for. Marcy, All water on the under the bridge. As you may recall, I had sent you out there to demonstrate the historical importance of Florizon Manor. And how much more historically important could it be than being the subject of the most viral ghost video that's ever been?
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. I
have to admit, this has been a roller coaster of a week for me personally, but...
Same.
The virality of the clip has definitely been a highlight for me.
I was fully not expecting it to be as it is, and I am so thankful for the understanding, and damn, I fully did not expect it to be an actual haunt, as it were.
Yes. Yes, well, I've got my application ready to go to the will be a good name for this, like State Office of Historical Landmarks and Items of Importance, which certifies certain properties under various legal acts according to their notoriety and infamy. And thanks to this clip, I have evidence. And obviously, once y'all publish that show, well, that'll be added on, but after talking with some friends in the state government, it appears that this will do much towards expediting the process so that we can get this whole land, that Babineau family land, marked as historically significant.
Awesome. I am glad to hear that it's hopefully going to be continuing to be a positive thing for you. And, well, here's to your reelection. I'm sure, first mayor to have a guaranteed, haunted house in his family is going to be, an interesting way to spin it, especially, whenever we update your, website for Halloween.
Yes, we'll have to take that into consideration. As of right now, I have other sort of pressing matters personally that I'm undergoing. Obviously, I believe you've heard of my missing brother Antoine, and hoping that we hear news of him soon, that we can find what it is that, I mean, you know, Marcy, I believe I can at least say this to you, although I don't enjoy saying this. I just hope that we find out what happened to him. At this point, it's been long enough that I think the best assumption, if I'm being honest with myself, is that he is dead. Of course, I want to be clear. I never suspected Chelsea. It's just, I think the police were just doing their due diligence, bringing her in for questioning, making an arrest. I thought might have been a little bit of a jump. That brought me by surprise. But because everything's been cleared up, and poor Chelsea's at least out of prison, out of jail, prison. There's a difference that I should know since I'm the mayor. But
I can keep track of it myself. Also, hopefully it gets a. It was sorted. I'm glad it was sorted out because, like, she's my therapist.
Well, that's, yes, I imagine that's very important for you then.
I sincerely hope that Antoine is, and from the camera pointing at her vehicle that is just parked somewhere in, like, just some, like, a Taco Bell parking lot, and she's just staring straight ahead, just like, sweat dripping across her face, the burden of knowing. I hope that he is found soon. Just some closure for your family. I imagine that is the worst thing, is the not knowing.
Yes, it's, I mean, the not knowing means that we don't, well, there's nothing to do. I don't want to move on, you know. I don't want to assume he's dead and have him alive and assume he's dead and then go hold a funeral and read his will and distribute his various assets and then come find out that nobody just skipped the country for a week or two to, you know, without telling anybody and leaving all his phone and all that sort of stuff behind. it's not impossible. He's lived a life of considerable gamesmanship, should we call it? That's a tactful way of what I'm trying to really get across, Marcy, if you understand that he has been known to bend to whatever whim catches his fancy.
When my father went missing, we assumed the worst as well, and come to find out, he just didn't care about us. He just wanted to leave, and I sympathize with you on this. Hopefully he's found. She is not lying. Her, as far as she knows, like, her father just up and left without telling anyone, her mother, and just gone.
Yeah. He says, well, Marcy, I suppose that actually explains some things about you. That's given me just a little more insight to you, and I am sorry that that happened to you. You obviously did not deserve that.
Neither do you. Neither do you.
Thank you. Now, I do have a handful of things to attend to. Is there anything else that you need from me, or that I can
provide for you? No, this was purely just checking in, making sure, like, you're okay, that the coming storm of media is not going to throw anything apart that you had plans for in some way, shape, or form. If there's anything I can do to help, let me know. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you, Mossy. You as well. We do anticipate an uptick in what am I thinking of?
Tourism.
We do anticipate an uptick in tourists and visitors here, and we have briefed everyone to let them know what to expect.
The Care 4 Candy Factory. I hope they got their sampler plates ready.
Oh, I believe they do. They last I heard, they were working double time, anticipating quite the increase. Obviously, you know, we've had spikes in tourism before, and we've been able to handle it well. So, just so happens. But all right, well, I will let you get on with it, and I will get on with it as well.
Have a good day, sir. Bye bye.
You too, Marcy. Bye bye. He hangs
click
up.
And she's just white knuckling the steering wheel, like fuck, 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 fuck.
I wanted to give you the opportunity now to also go ahead and roll, like, level up, right? Do all your stuff that you want to do for progression, I guess.
Awesome. I was just looking at all my checks, all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Yeah.
I need to try out more random skills.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I gotta get my anthropology up.
I think that's the most skills. I was thinking, like, when I did this with Mark and Tyler, they both only had, like, a couple skills that they advanced. Because it feels like, I mean, I know it's been a few episodes, but it feels like there hasn't been that much rolling that y'all have actually done since, you know, the last time. But I did kind of want to give this opportunity to, you know, roll again.
All right. Well, I'm about to click the button. I'm just taking a picture for posterity about what my skills currently are. And here comes the button. And it's going to add a D4 to every single check skill, right?
It's D4 or D6. I don't remember.
On the sheet, it says a D4.
Cool.
All right, cool. Well, my alertness went up from 52 to a 54. My bureaucracy went up by 3 points to a 13. Not my really. Humint went up by 1 again to a 12. My cult is up to a 16 from a 14. And my search is up to a 25 from 23.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good spread. I also wanted to give the opportunity, you know, we've got some of these downtime ideas, right, that we do in Delta Green. And so, you know, there's fulfill responsibilities, go back to nature, establish a new bond, go to therapy, improve skills, personal motivation, special training, stay on the case, study the unnatural. Now, I mean, I kind of asked you beforehand, you know, what you wanted Marcy to do. And I'm not sure that any of these quite fit, but I think we can. And then obviously, you know, I also have the indulge your vice type of thing that you can do if you want to do that again. So Marcy could go bowling tonight, you know, if you wanted to try and get some sanity back. But I just wanted to sort of pitch to you. Are there any of one of these that you specifically want to sort of go into? And then we can talk a little bit more about that. Or do you just want to keep doing, I would say that like we can do stay on the case type of things.
I think what we had in mind would fall under stay on the case and have her call up the Ethereal Emporium and try to set up a meeting where she was given an offer to join that sisterhood. And I think she's going to, after thinking on it some more, take her up on the offer.
Okay.
At least for now. Would that fall under stay on the case, do you think? I don't know.
I think so. There's some other stuff that you could stay on the case for. I don't know if you remember this, but you picked up some financial documents.
Yes, as well. Oh, my God, yes.
I think that would be more staying on the case. With the joining the coven, that would be moving into improving skills or stats slash study the unnatural, depending on what we wanted to focus on.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then she'll call them up and just, or at least she'll call the Emporium up, or at least like to like let them know like she is interested and she would like to sit in on the next meeting, I suppose, to get a feel for it before committing to it fully, if that's an option.
Okay. Calling Luna, she would tell you that they do have another meeting. I mean, do you want to do a third phone call?
I can if you want to, but I think it's okay for it to be like just a quick touch in and that's about it. Or yeah, if you want to do an entire thing.
So you call her Wednesday night. You know, she says, oh yeah, we're going to have actually our quarterly meeting on Friday night at 9 PM. It'll be hosted in the Ethereal Essence Emporium. You will need to give her a call beforehand so she can let you in the back entrance because the mall closes. And so you have to be able to go in the back entrance to get in with the coven. So, and she says, normally there's like a trial period, right? Where you have sort of
it's not a hazing thing, right?
No, it's like a what am I thinking of? It's like their opportunity to make sure that you're serious about it. And she says, you know, we won't necessarily need to do that for you given everything that's happened.
Much appreciate. I can't imagine you've had many applicants who have physically attacked a ghost and witnessed it be sealed inside an Orgon crystal. By the way, that's what happened to the crystal you sold, Cyril. It's got a ghost inside it now. If you have any advice for dealing with that knowledge and the fact that he now just has a fucking ghost in a crystal, please let me know. It's a burden upon my mind.
That's so funny, given what Mark went out of his way to say that Cyril did with the crystal.
Oh God. Which,
our listeners know it's not anything bad. It's just kind of funny. How he treats it versus how you are treating it right now. So
me picturing him drunk, juggling, just like, check out this thing I got.
Hey, not that far off.
Oh God, Mark.
But anyway, so let's jump back to Wednesday. Anything else you want to do Wednesday night, or you want to move into Thursday and whatever you want to do on Thursday?
I think she is gonna just like stress relief go bowling. I think that is legit the thing she's gonna try to do, is just like, you know what, I'm gonna relax. I'm not gonna obsess over it. I'm just gonna go bowling and not think about anyone else's lane but my own, like I should have done that night. I'm just gonna put my nose to the grindstone and play ball.
Okay. How does she do on bowling? Let's just roll your athletics.
Alrighty.
Do you want to be indulging your vice, or you kind of want to save like a downtime activity for once you're in the coven stuff? Which we're going to cover. Sorry, just be clear. We'll cover more downtime stuff also next episode when all three of us join back. Well, all three of you join
nice.
Together. So
I think this would be okay for it to be not like indulging her vices. She's not going to go fully like crazy bowling like she would. She's just going to do one set and be like, all right, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. Give me an athletics roll.
Okay.
Just to see how it did.
She'll run home, grab her shoes, grab her ball, her outfit, and just get all dressed up and then hit the lanes. Incredible. I think she like does this, gets everything ready, and it's just like, all right, I'm ready. And the entire time she's just thinking back to that interview and just like, she really put a fucking second mic on me. She really tried to get me one over. She fucking Nina. If they did that to me, what the fuck did they do to them? Did they also have a mic planted on? Do they have a mic planted on that like they don't know about? How long has this mic been planted on them? Is Nina looking into stuff about Barnabas right now? Why can't I escape my uncle? What the fuck is going on? Why are people so obsessed with my uncle? I know he did something, but like, he's fine, right? Nothing happened. And the entire time she's just bowling dog ass. Like, it's just, she should have this down pat, and she gets a 7-10 split, and she's just staring at it like, fuck. Fuck.
So
fuckity fuckity fuck.
A little bit of a rough night just, on the lanes.
Yeah.
I
think she does end it just getting drunk at the pickled pin and just ending up Ubering home. Is Uber a thing in the time period we've set care for in? Fuck it, she'll call a taxi. I think a taxi would be more appropriate to care for, honestly. Would care for still have like a taxi service though?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably it's be just, like it's just at the turn of guy. Age.
It's just one yeah, guy.
it's Jeff.
No. Well, okay. Maybe Jeff.
I do want the idea of him introducing like, my name Jeff.
No.
I'm obsessed with that joke. It's so dumb, but it's my go-to. Okay.
I don't want to.
But yeah, absolutely. It's just one guy in a taxi service, the care for cabs.
Yeah. So let's come up with this guy's name.
As you navigate to the thing that generates his entire identity, his social security code. What's his credit card info, Dan?
We're going to go Thomas Knight. Knight. Thomas Knight.
Okay. Okay.
Hang on while I take a note of this. He calls his taxi company the Knight Rider.
Fuck off. That he's getting sued. He's getting or is this a universe where fucking Kit never happened?
No, it's just he's yet to be brought into court about it. And what Marcy may be putting this together is the reason he's never been brought into court is because of Glomus's covering of the town.
Oh my god.
So it's just obscured him from any sort of like legal scrutiny.
For years.
It's actually why the Blockbuster lasted so long too in the town.
The Blockbuster is only just now about to go out of business now that the dome is down.
Yep. Well, the Blockbuster did go out of business and became the library, you may recall. But anyway, so okay, you call up the Knight Rider, and he says, hey, Marcy, how's it going?
Hey, Knight. His name is Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Tom.
And he's like in his 50s, you know, he's like a relatively like clean-cut dude, just, you know, wears sort of like a nice polo and khakis when he's driving. He always puts on the sort of New York accent, you know, but just vaguely like East Coast accent, even though he's from Louisiana. Hey, Marcy, how's it going? How you doing?
She chuckles a little bit, not hearing it in a long time. Hey, Tom, I got a little bit sloshed of the pickle pin. I don't feel like it's a good idea for me to be driving home right now. Can you come pick me up?
Sure. I'll be right there. Actually, okay, I'm parked just up the street. So give me a minute. And you hear him start up the car as he hangs up.
Fantastic. And as she's just watching the lanes and just keeping an eye on anyone who like might be good enough in her eyes to, she can send an invitation to join the crew. She's just sitting there staring out, thinking about that fucking praying mantis now. That fucked up triangle faced thing.
And as you think about it, you hear its voice in your head saying, why are you here?
What the fuck was that?
And as you're thinking about this, I think what you realize now with a little bit of reflection is that that experience felt weirdly like when y'all touched the chest in the manor and you went someplace else.
She's just sitting there like, fuck, that wasn't just a night, or what is it, a daymare. That wasn't just some anxiety hallucination. What the fuck was that? She's just sitting there reeling like, is that some fucked up core memory that I had repressed? Surely I would remember something like that, right? And she's just staring at the drink in front of her, right?
And as you stare at the drink, it's like you can hear the voice in your head again saying,
you lost the map.
And that's actually where we're going to end for tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Fun little phone call sesh for Marcy tonight. So thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is a Delta Green actual play. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. It's my favorite role-playing system. So thank you to those guys, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please make sure that you go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. I know Google Podcasts is wrapping up here soon, so RIP. We are going to start putting these out to YouTube as well, so make sure you go check our check the link in the show notes and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube for when that happens. Every little bit helps, guys. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. Make sure you email us once you've done your review, and if you give us an NPC name, we'll happily incorporate them. We are going to have more characters join us in Care 4. So thank you for listening, and thank you to Pawns Over Kings for Cositus. This is our theme song, so let's listen to it. Finish it out. My hands are frozen in the snow. The eyes of corpses have no glow. Made these chains just for myself. Rambling about my mental health. Demons on this hazy hill. Only my soul. Faces with no smile. Where can I run? Where it cannot chase me down. Where is the sun? Oh God, please don't let me drown.
Yeah. You know, that also might, I think Oreos also, this is a peek behind for me, I think Oreos also trigger my lactose intolerance.
Is there lactose in Oreos?
I don't know, but I'm just speaking from experience. speaking from experience, it did triggers the shit out of mine.
Well, then maybe double down on the toilet paper. Frantically Googling. I can hear Noah frantically Googling, are Oreos lactose free?
Yeah, no, they are dairy free and vegan treat. Okay, never. What the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with me then?
I did know they were vegan.
I think that's. I think I might just have a fucked up stomach then.
Yeah, maybe.
Unfortunate. Maybe. Unfortunate to learn it live on this podcast. If you want to edit it out, please do.
I might toss it in at the end, you know.
Okay, as little blooper. A little treat for fans to poison me if I ever have a meetup.